The omens don't feel very good for Ohio or Central Ohio when it comes to the real estate market. So what's the news about Central Ohio? Is there any good news? Joining us to talk about that is Todd Helpbringer. He is president of Helpbringer Mortgage Services since 2002. He's Business First newspaper lists Helpbringer Mortgage Services among the top 25 mortgage companies in Central Ohio. And we welcome you to the show, Todd.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Also, Rob Vogt. He is partner of Vogt Santer Insight, a national real estate research firm based in Columbus. He is a founding member and past chairman of the National Council of Affordable Housing Market Analyst. It's a group formed to bring standards and professional practices to market feasibility. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann.
Welcome back, I should say.
Yes, thank you.
Question for listeners. To our listeners, we'd like you to join the conversation. Have you bought or sold a residence in the last 6 months or so? Tell us your story, share your successes, and share your failures as well, and hear what our experts have to say about that. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can go to the Facebook page, and you can tweet me at Ann Fisher, WOSU. So I read I probably have just enough information to be very, very dangerous today. I read the Housing Predictor. And it said that record high foreclosures coupled with one of the highest unemployment rates in the nation have crippled the Ohio housing market. Displaced Ohio workers are beginning to get aid from the hardest hit fund. But without more assistance, the region is in for a tough new year. So before we get to what the hardest hit fund is that dire? Is that worse than what it needs to say? Is it about what about right?
Yeah.
Todd?
Well, I think homeownership got away from... It just got too crazy. You know, 10 years ago, they were giving a home to anybody. And I think there's going to be some pullback in the market. I think definitely the pendulum has swung too far the other direction on how people can get qualified for a mortgage. You know, we at Helpbringer Mortgage are still qualifying people that are qualified to own a home. So I think there's going to be some more downturn in the market. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. But I think if we go back to sound lending practices, it'll be fine. It's going to take some years to work off the surplus.
So it's not that it's so bad. It's just coming back from something so unrealistic.
Unrealistic that everyone needed to own a home. You know, there are people that just need to be renters, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there are also the people that need to be investors. There's nothing wrong with that. I think when they came out, you know, back several administrations ago where that home ownership was for everybody and that home values will increase 20% a year, and who cares if we're giving someone 100% financing because it'll all work out. That was a demise. And it took probably 10 to 15 years for us to finally realize that when the bubble burst, a lot of people lost their homes because they couldn't keep up with the rising of interest rates, property taxes, just the overall life.
So, Rob, when we're talking, when I'm reciting what the Housing Predictor says, are they talking about the investment market as well as the, what would you call the typical
home buyer market?
Is that the same thing or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. I think we specialize a lot in multifamily housing, and we're seeing some of the best multifamily markets that we have seen in a very long time. And I think that there are some good opportunities out there for investors for multifamily properties because there are a lot of folks that are electing to rent rather than to own. On the other side of the coin, I think it's important to realize that there are some opportunities also for folks who can't afford a single-family house. There are some great buys out there, so that when you're talking about the general trend of a real estate recession, there's no question we're in a real estate recession. But for some folks, there's some great opportunities out there to pick up a house for less than what it will be worth a couple of years from now.
We're talking about the real estate market in Ohio and Central Ohio. My guests are Rob Vogt. He's partner of Vogt Santer Insight. It's a national real estate research firm based in Columbus. And also Todd Helpbringer. He's the president of Helpbringer Mortgage Services. If you have a question or comment for them, if you want to share your story, did you sell your house in the last 6 months or so? Give us a call. Tell us what the magic was. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And we don't mind hearing the disaster stories, too. Maggie, welcome to the show.
Hi. Well, I'm the owner of two homes, and I live in both. I'm still working in the Columbus area. My office is based out of there, so I've kept that home. But I have tried to sell that house for the last 6 months. And the last time I had it listed, or not 6 months, I'm sorry, 6 years.
I thought someone made a mistake there. I thought it said 6 years.
Off and on the market for 6 years, And the last time I had it listed, probably 6 months ago, and I had one person look at the house. It is a beautiful little home. It's all hardwood floors, Cape Cod, beautiful. But I think it's where it's sitting. When I moved into the neighborhood, it's on South Richardson. When I moved there, we had solid neighborhood people that knew each other, that had been there longevity. Now we have lots of transient people moving in and out, and the neighborhood has gone down quite a bit. But I just cannot believe. I mean, I lowered the price of this house to the.
I'm sorry, Maggie. You keep breaking up. I think that was the ultimate breakup. She broke off, but I think we get the picture.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's a trend that we see in Central Ohio is that some of the more stable communities, Upper Arlington, Worthington, Dublin, Westerville, we haven't seen the decline in prices like we have in some of the inner-city neighborhoods of Columbus. And I think she is going to be really challenged to find a qualified buyer to move into a location like that. It's some of the options that might be available to her is to rent the property for a while. We see a strong rental market. There's a lot of folks who have been displaced due to foreclosure that are looking for a home in the neighborhood that they have been displaced. And it may make sense for her to rent that property until she can find a suitable buyer.
So lower-priced starter homes, that market's tougher, Todd?
I don't think it's more challenging sometimes for buyers to get qualified. But it's just because the paperwork and that's so tedious right now. But again, if you are qualified, you have good credit, you have a down payment, there is financing available for you. I mean, right now we can do financing on a single-family home as little as 3% down. Now, again, you have to have a credit score, you know, in the 700s and a down payment. So you can make those all happen. You just have to have down payment and good credit.
But 3% down, that's still a lot less than I remember back in the olden days of 1991. Is that something you recommend?
Well, with 3% down, you do have the thought of you've got to have private mortgage insurance. I mean, at all costs, I would recommend if you could do 20% down, try to do that. Also, with the 3% down, I always tell people, if you look to move in the next several years, you probably will have to feed this loan. In other words, you will not probably get out what you've put into it because you don't have so little equity. So it's probably a better idea if you could wait and maybe put a larger down payment down.
And also, if you know you're going to be moving in a couple, 3 years, is it wise to purchase now anyways?
And right now, again, with not knowing where the bottom is, I probably would continue to rent.
And I think that's one of the things that we see among buyers is the fact that there's a strong possibility that the house they buy today could be worth less than they bought it today, which is why we're seeing so many people deferring the purchase of a house. It could be lower value than it is today. So why buy?
In other words, it's still going down.
It's still going down. It is.
Mm-hmm. How long do you think this is going to go on?
You know, no one has that magic, you know, lamp here, but I would say probably at least another 12 to maybe 24 months. I just see a lot of instability here. The nice thing, rates probably will be ultra low probably for the next couple of years. So it'll help people that once the market stabilizes, they can still get good opportunity to buy homes.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you have a question or comment for our guests, also we'd like to hear your happy stories, your horror stories about selling or buying a home in the last 6 months or so. Let us know how it went and we'll talk about that with you. If you want to email us, allsides@wosu.org is the number to go to. So last week, the Federal Reserve tried new measures to revive the sluggish economy, including the purchasing mortgage-backed securities from agencies like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. But with mortgage rates already near record lows, as you said, the vice president for research of the Mortgage Bankers Association says that the Fed action will provide only incremental improvement in the housing market. Let's listen.
It's going to help a few more borrowers afford a home that may be a little bit bigger than they otherwise would have been able to purchase. It may help a few more borrowers refinance.
So what's your estimation of that, Rob?
Well, I think the big question right now is confidence in the economy. That's the biggest question that I think consumers have and households have is the fact that if I don't know if I'm going to have a job next month or next year, why would I buy a house? And I think the fact that we have the lowest mortgage rates we've had literally in history is an indication that people just aren't confident in what's going to happen in the economy. And I think that's one of the reasons that you see some of the stability that we at least see in places like Upper Arlington, Worthington, Dublin, is the fact that these folks tend to be more professional-type employment, where they have a little bit greater confidence in the economy and are readily employed, whereas in some of the other areas of Franklin County or the metropolitan statistical area, we have a lot of blue-collar-type employment where the unemployment rate has been significantly higher than the overall rate. If we've got an overall 9% unemployment rate in central Ohio, that unemployment rate for some of the blue-collar workers may be 20-25%. Those folks aren't going to buy a house, and I think that's one of the reasons that we see some of the prices declining in some of these blue-collar areas around central Ohio.
Yeah, it's really kind of two economies. You were saying, Todd, that Worthington, Upper Arlington, Westerville, Dublin, they're relatively stable. That's because it's a different economy there for right. a lot of people.
Yes, it is. And I think back when Rob was saying, though, a lot of times I think what they were trying to do is spur on a lot of the people with higher interest rates to refinance right now. Mm-hmm. We've got interest rates right now at 4%, a little bit south of that 3.875%. So we've had an influx of people trying to refinance. So I've heard, you know, everyone try to refinance if you can to get into a smaller payment. Now's a great time, especially if you have an adjustable rate mortgage. Get out of that now because not right now you're at 60-year lows on interest rates. So why not try? There are a lot of programs out there that help people, you know, that if they don't have, if they feel like they don't have 20% equity anymore, there's a program out there called a Refi Plus that allows you to still refinance your home, even though the value may have exceeded and now you need a mortgage insurance. You won't have to get it at this point in time. So there's a lot of programs out there. Just ask and try to be educated, but try to get into these rates right now because we're at 50 and 60-year lows.
What is that? I referred to it earlier, the hardest hit fund. I don't even know what they're talking about.
I don't either. I mean, there's a program out there the
maybe
government has.
Maybe because I'm not hardest hit yet, but I don't know. It's
just, well, the program out there the government really puts out is the HARP. I forget how it's pronounced, but it's a lot of times that people need to go back to their lender that has the mortgage presently. Let's say they put down less than 20%. Mm-hmm. The current lender can help them refinance their product at that time. Like for me being an outsider going into that client that has the PMI, they may be better suited just to go back to the bank because they are going to help them because it already has mortgage insurance on it.
They have a vested interest
correct,
in that.
Correct. We're keeping them current.
We are talking about the housing market, the foreclosure market. The other side of the coin. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll continue the conversation when we return. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Here's your opportunity to win an iPad 2 and support 89.7 NPR News. Our fall membership drive begins soon, and by making your pledge early, you'll be automatically entered to win an iPad 2. Visit WOSU.org now, make your pledge, and get registered. No pledge is necessary, but your support will continue to pay for the programs you enjoy. Entries are only accepted at WOSU.org. The deadline is October 13th.
And this is 89.7 NPR News, 62 degrees in downtown Columbus. Sunny skies today and reaching a high of 82. Clear skies tonight, a low of 53. And more sunshine for tomorrow, still warm with a high of 81.
Support for 89.7 comes from the state auto insurance companies providing home, automobile, and business insurance products and services to Central Ohioans since 1921. State Auto is on the web at stateauto.com.
All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. We're talking about the housing market, about the real estate market in Central Ohio and Ohio. If you have a question or comment for our guests, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're especially interested if you join the conversation and tell us about whether you've been able to buy or sell a residence in the last 6 months. We'd like to know your story, what attracted you to that real estate opportunity, and you know, maybe what has detracted you as you've been looking for a place to live. My guest, Todd Helbringer, he is the president of Helbringer Mortgage Services, and also Rob Vogt, he's partner of Vogt Santer Insights, a national real estate research firm based in Columbus. Amanda, you're in Upper Arlington. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Well, I had my husband and I bought our house. It's 2004 in Upper Arlington, a starter home, you know, in the mid-200s, and we put it in the market. We have two children now. We put it on the market in January and just pulled it off. We didn't get a single offer in 7 months.
Wow.
What do you think?
Well, you know, we learned some lessons in the process, that maybe putting some money up front into the home. The home was in good condition, but hadn't been repainted since we bought it. Hadn't been staged. We needed help with that. And I think if someone had come in at the beginning and done that, we might have had a better chance, but I'm just not sure.
Yeah, things like painting.
Yeah, I agree, Amanda. It sounds like, just my opinion, may have gotten some bad advice. I think it would be a good idea to have that house, you know, almost in tip-top shape, because again, you're competing against somebody that maybe feels the market's a little soft, but you go in there with a strong showing, your house is in great shape, you're more opportunity to get the right price versus the house is not, you know, needs this, then you feel like you're just on a slippery slope of where's the bottom, because people just keep on beating you up on price.
And Rob, the buying market, they have so much power now, but it's also not that big of a group. So they know when a house has been on the market for 8 or 9 months.
That's right. You are competing. You are competing with a lot of houses that Todd indicated, and you want to present the best house you can. And I think the buyers today are saying, I want to move in without a lot of things to do. I'm going to wait to find the right house. And if you're not presenting the best house you can present, I think you're going to be challenged to sell that house.
And some people think, well, I don't want to put too much money in it. I'm going to sell it in 6 or 7 years when I retire. Do you really not want to make, you know, fix up the bathroom or that sort of thing? It used to be, if you're going to sell it, why dump a bunch of money into it?
But also, I think keeping it up to date, so when you do decide to sell the house, again, I think you have a strong showing. You go in there and the house looks good, you're more opportunity to get the right price versus someone saying, when I move in, I've got to do this, this, and this. They just keep deducting that from the price.
Right.
I look at it as a house, is that, you know, people say it's not an investment. I think it kind of is an investment. You have to protect your home for at some point in time when you decide to sell. If you don't, it's going to look like crap, and you'll reflect that in the price that you receive.
If you even
get an offer.
If you even get an offer. Correct. Amanda, thanks for that call, and good luck. Amanda, 614-292-8513 is the number to call. John, you've refinanced. You're worried. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm just worried to the extent that I'll give you the facts. Mm-hmm. We were at 5.5 fixed. I've been unemployed, sporadic employment throughout the last 2 years. We had 9 years in on the house. We had 21 years left. We refinanced at 4.7. We had closing costs. My wife works at the bank, so we had closing costs of about $300. I think we could have gotten a better deal, and I wish we could have maybe refinanced at 20 years. Do you think we could have done better?
You know, I really think you could have. A lot of times, you know, the closing costs typically are probably going to run in the $2,000 range. Now, what a lot of lenders do, they'll give you options of either getting the what they call par rate, and you've got some closing costs, say $2,000, or they'll give you a slightly higher interest rate with reduced cost. I always tell clients there's no secrets. Basically, if you're getting a higher interest rate, it's because the lender will pay those costs for you. You know, right now, you look at the going 20 rate, as you mentioned, is right around 3.75 to 3.875. So, yeah, I think you could have done a little bit better on the rate-wise.
Would have made that back.
Correct.
Pretty easily.
You can look at that. It's mathematical, how long you'll be in the home versus what the costs are versus the higher interest rate with reduced costs. It's simple math. You can figure that out, what's best. We try to offer that to each client and see what they really want. Typically, clients want the best rate possible, and that way because they've been in the house for a little bit longer period of time.
Okay. John, hang in there.
Thank you.
Take care. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You know, the market's always been tied to what the going rates are, but is it ever more so than now, or has it always been that way? Rob?
Well, I think it's surprising that we aren't finding more buyers given the historic low rates that we have today. I mean, it's just, to me, it's incredible to imagine that we could have historically low rates and not have more home transactions than we have, both on the new home side and the existing home side. It's very surprising.
That's a function, though, of this historical economic downturn.
Yeah, and two things. You know, this about 9 months ago, we were, again, historical low rates again. We were right around at about 4%.
Right.
Rates went back up to 4.5, 4.75. And then again, 9 months later, we're back to where we are. But I do agree that the refinance is brisk right now. The purchase side, not so brisk. I mean, we may have, as a company, maybe 10 in the pipeline right now, not near as many as I thought we would, knowing that these are 60-year low rates.
Michael in Worthington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hey, thank you very much. And I'd like to take issue. About 15 minutes ago, one of your guests gave me that fatigued line about we've tried to get too many people into homes. You know, we have to remember that the home is usually the third leg of a three-stool
three-legged stool
mm-hmm. that helps us in retirement, and some people actually use it for reverse mortgage. I just think it's such a tired line when we really should be encouraging it, and I think the light has not been shed enough on all the predatory lending, and of course Wall Street. I can imagine how that it's a wonderful world. The poor guy banker would be explaining, "Oh, don't you know, Ellen, that your mortgage," he used to say, "is with Jed here who opened the store." No, he'd have to say, "It's been bundled. It's over in China, and we really are still trying to figure out exactly where it is." It just, I think most of it was predatory lending or these balloon rates that I think it's incumbent on the lender to talk to the person and say, "Hey, you really should convert this now because it's getting dangerously high interest rate for your economic situation." Could I have some feedback?
So is okay, thank you, Michael, for the call. So what's the connection between the predatory lending that we've all heard about now and this push for everyone to achieve the American dream of home ownership?
I agree with Michael 100%. I mean, we as a company, we never did any subprime lending in our 29 years because I could never get my brain wrapped around it. It just did not make sense. If I couldn't get Michael the going rate, how can I qualify Michael at 9 or 10%? And I go back to previous administrations pushed home ownership. They thought home ownership for everybody at any cost, and I do stress any cost, was a good thing. As Michael said, there was the Treasury at the time was making up loan products to fit people versus people fitting the loan product that was already on the table. I mean, for my parents retired about 13 years ago, I remember telling my dad, I said, "This is going to be a disaster." I had no idea it was going to be this big of a disaster. You cannot give somebody something for free. It was at the point where there were some loan products being offered that were no money down, and the seller could pay your closing costs. So I remember telling the analogy that, gee, you can either go to the movies or you could buy a home. It's up to you, because there was no money out of your pocket. And then people, a lot of them just turned their back on the home, because when the times got tough, they walked away because they had no skin in the game.
So it is an investment. It is something that you want to look back down the road, and you do want to think about it. If you've made that investment, you do want it to help out in retirement. You know, but if you can't afford it in the first place.
That's right, and it's important to realize that not everybody is suited for home ownership. There's things to do. You have to maintain a house. You have to shovel the walks. You have to cut the grass. Your insurance rates go up. Your property taxes go up. There's a lot of things that go along with home ownership that a lot of households just aren't prepared to deal with, and they're not potentially going to be good homeowners at that point.
John, thanks for the call. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about the real estate market in Central Ohio and Ohio and in your neighborhood. So you can give us a call. You can email us. You can also go on the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and talk to us that way. Ala in Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. You're a buyer?
No, I'm a seller.
Okay.
And I think this is such an unbelievable buyer's market today. I have a lovely little home that we remodeled 5 years ago. It's walk-in condition. There are probably six homes for sale in the neighborhood, and not a single one of them has sold. People are looking to buy a $300,000 house at $200,000, and they want homes to be given away, and it's just not going to happen, especially in better neighborhoods.
Right, that's another thing. I mean, there. And by the way, it's Alan in Upper Arlington. Sorry about that, Alan. People are looking for too much of a steal. Maybe are they being a little ridiculous at some point?
Well, I think at this point there is a big gap between the expectation of a seller and the expectation of a buyer, and that gap has to be brought down so that we actually see some transactions. So until that happens, we're going to continue to struggle with selling houses.
Yeah, I agree with Alan. I mean, it sounds like he's gone in there and he's done the right thing to his house. It's in move-in condition. I think that's what you need to have. And I'm unfortunate there's maybe no buyers, don't know who the realtor is. Maybe the realtor has to come up with a better angle of maybe seeing what the price point is in that area or advertise it a little bit differently. But I agree. I think go in there with a strong house so you don't get the buyer that wants to beat you down on price. I mean, that's what everyone feels like because that's what they hear. Houses are, as Bob said, given away right now.
Thanks a lot, Alan, for that call. Do you think that I've talked to people who are not hearing the numbers from their real estate agents that they want. They say, well, my real estate agent says I can't get any more than this. Well, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to go with that agent. What is your advice for people when they're shopping for a real estate agent? Any?
Well, I think, you know, if you find the agent that you, you know, kind of jive with, I think go with their expectation. I mean, they're in the market. They can pull up comparable homes in your area that have sold and give you an idea of what it's selling for. You may not like what you're hearing, but it is what it is right now. We've got that in some of the cases on the homes that we're refinancing right now. People paid $400,000 for their house. Well, now they're appraising at, you know, $310,000. I mean, they're just infuriated about that. I tell them, don't sell.
Don't if you don't right. have to sell, don't sell.
Right. That's right.
And again, listen to your real estate agent. They can pull you comps so you can see what the area is demanding before you make that decision to sell.
It probably makes sense to work with a realtor who's really knowledgeable about their immediate neighborhood because they will know what's going on in terms of sales and the comps and so on. So to select somebody that knows what's going on in their neighborhood.
Sometimes with home ownership, it gets really personal, though. You've really put a lot, not just a lot of money into it, but a lot of heart and soul. And it's personal to people. And it maybe shouldn't be so personal. It's an investment.
Well, I agree with that. But it's extremely personal because you've got family, children, schools. You've got all those things. I mean, I've always said that on our residential side of our company, that is a lot of drama sometimes because of all the moves that have to happen. On my commercial side of the company, on office buildings, not so much drama because they're looking at it as an investment. The family looks at it as home for their children to grow up in schools and things like that.
We have an email from Jason. He says, I own a house that is underwater, but only by a little, thanks to the formerly inflated market. I have not missed a payment nor ever been late. My credit is awesome, but I am not able to refinance because of the lack of equity in my home. If I could refinance, I would get some serious relief, about 25% lower monthly payment. Is there anything for people like me who have been working hard not to default? Good question, Jason.
I think it's a great question, Jason. And my comment is that I would go and talk to your lender that has your loan currently and bring up the HARP loan, because that was put together for a client that is lacking the equity now due to the downturn in the market. So I do think you could refinance, and it sounds like you'd be a perfect candidate because you've got good credit, you've maintained your home, and the only thing you're lacking is the equity. So definitely go back to your current lender.
Okay. Bill and Powell, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I need to challenge, I think, Rob. I'm not sure who mentioned it, but okay. I've been told by a couple people that we have a home that's built in 86, and we were thinking about putting in granite countertops in the kitchen and replacing three old appliances with stainless steel. And one of the realtors said, don't do it, because whatever you put in, the new buyer may not care for, may not like the style of the granite, may not like stainless steel. There's got to be two sides of that argument.
Well, that's a good point, Bill. I think that's absolutely correct that he may have buyers that want a kitchen that they can dictate how they're going to create the improvements. So I think, again, that gets back to our point about making sure that you have a professional that understands your neighborhood and what they are looking for, that they'll be able to provide the best recommendation on the types of improvements you should be making to that property.
And if you have the luxury to just be keeping up your house as it goes along instead of making it something that you're doing at the last minute to sell.
Well, again,
you're enjoying it and it's not so much of
That's true. That's a good point. You might as well, if you're going to put the money into it, you might as well enjoy it.
All right, Bill. Good luck. Thanks a lot. 614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call. And Lynn in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I have a comment, I guess, and a question. I know there was a comment made about having skin in the game, and I think that was a problem in our neighborhood. We built in 2002 a freestanding condo, kind of an entry-level home. We paid, I think, $135, and it's a government-backed loan. We spent about 7 years in the home, and then we ran out of room and started we moved into a rental and are renting it out. But we have a mortgage rate of 6.5% and can't refinance it because we don't live there anymore and we can't sell it. And the appraisal value right now just came out at just over about $67,000.
Why is residency such an issue?
Well, I think, Lynn, back on what you're talking about there, once you move out of the property that was once owner-occupied and it becomes an investment, that's where that HARP program doesn't come into play. It's when you change the occupancy. That's where the problem lies. Now, you could still look to refinance, but the problem I think you mentioned earlier was the lack of equity, and that will be a problem because now investment properties, most lenders want 25% equity. And the condos are kind of getting a bad rap. A lot of lenders took a bath on these condos, and so a lot of them are shying away from doing future condo purchases and or refinancing.
Okay. Lynn, thanks a lot for your...
this property forever?
well, hopefully, Lynn, the values will turn around, and, you know, you might look at maybe doing, if you find a good renter, maybe do a rent-to-own type of situation. Okay. And maybe they could, you know, find a good person that when the market recovers here in a couple, 3 years, then they can then purchase the property away from you.
I think it's an important point, Todd, that you made that the condominium market really has been hit hard in Central Ohio, probably more so than the single family market. Given our demographic, the fact that we have so many empty nesters and older adults aging, I see that market coming back fairly strongly in the next several years. So if folks can hang on to some of those condominiums that they have been owning for the past decade, I think those values will come back, especially given the demographic.
I agree.
Thanks a lot, Lynn, for the call. From an email from Dave, he says Upper Arlington is far from a safe place to buy a home. I have a nice starter home near Lane Avenue, and our property values have been hit hard by the prospect of a huge new hotel development in our neighborhood. I don't see anyone looking at the many homes for sale on my street. I can't move because I can't sell, and I need the sale money to purchase.
Well, there are clearly local situations that will influence the price of a house, and I think he cited an example of some uncertainty of what's going to occur in his neighborhood that's going to influence the ability to be able to sell his house. The simple matter is, though, that statistically, if you look at the home prices in Arlington and in Worthington and Dublin, they have not declined the extent that they have in places like Linden, south side of Columbus, near east side. I mean, those are places where we have seen fairly large declines in home values. So without question, there's going to be local situations that influence the price of a house. But the general trends are that some of these better neighborhoods are performing better than others.
Angel wanted to know via email how the housing market in the suburbs on the east side are doing, like Gahanna, Reynoldsburg, those.
Yeah, I think some of those, as Rob just mentioned, are not faring as well. A lot of those neighborhoods that had maybe recent builder activity, where the builder got a lot of people in there at limited down payments, are suffering because a lot of them had no skin in the game. They may have walked away from the home. So unfortunately, you've got a lot of short sales, foreclosures, bankruptcies, divorces. Those, when anytime someone tries to sell their house immediately, you pay the price dearly because they're just basically giving it away. So unfortunately, that's going to affect those neighborhoods.
We're talking about the real estate market in Central Ohio and Ohio. If you have a question or comment, we'll take your calls as soon as we return. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Hey, did you hear car talk last week?
He just needs, he doesn't need the whole car. He needs a memento. Break off the rearview mirror.
And mail it to him.
And mail it to him. And if that, I think every week he should break off a piece of the car.
Mail it to him. And say, please kiss this goodbye.
And eventually, the whole car will be where? Back at his house.
For more well-reasoned car advice, join us this week for Car Talk.
Car Talk tomorrow at noon on 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Join us in 20 minutes at 11 o'clock for All Sides Weekend in a discussion of the best of arts and culture in Central Ohio. Host Christopher Purdy will discuss the Wexner Center, Ballet Met, Pro Musica, and more. That's All Sides Weekend at 11 on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Foundation, celebrating our nationally ranked businesses and nonprofit leaders, making our community stronger. With donors and funds in 33 Ohio counties, the Columbus Foundation, where your philanthropy and your community come together.
You can discover more about All Sides with Ann Fisher on our website, wosu.org/allsides. On the show's website, you can listen and watch the show live. You can also explore the archive, which includes audio and video of every show. That's wosu.org/allsides. Sunny skies today, a high right around 81 degrees, more sunshine tomorrow, and a high of 80. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back. We're talking about the real estate market in Central Ohio and Ohio. If you have a question or comment for our guests, Todd Heltbringer, he's president of Heltbringer Mortgage Services, and also Rob Vogt, he's partner of Vogt Santer Insight. It's a national real estate research firm based in Columbus. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Jonathan in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. The Fed Reserve has pushed an awful lot of liquidity into the system, which the banks at first used to shore up their banking reserves, and now they're stronger. Should the Federal Reserve be doing something now to incentivize these banks to actually loosen their standards, or are we in a situation where we should just wait it out? And I can take my answer off the air.
All right, Jonathan, take care. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, Jonathan, I do agree. You know, I think the administration, they talk out of both sides of their mouth. I mean, I know for a fact that, yes, they want to spur on home ownership. They want to spur on commercial growth. But also with all the regulations that Fannie has and also the regulators that I deal with on my commercial side, they don't want that. I mean, there is such tough qualifying standards right now for a single family home. We look at now, we make the comment that we work twice as hard for the same loan and ask for a redundance of paperwork on that same borrower. On my commercial side of my company, the same thing. The regulators have come in and said, well, the one side that says lend, the other side is saying, but you better not unless you have this, this, and this. And so it's amazing, but you get two answers for the same question.
Todd, you'd mentioned that the pendulum has swung. Do you think banks today are so nervous about making a bad loan that they have really cranked it up too far?
Yes, 100%. I mean, I deal again with a bank I do my commercial financing with, so I'm privileged with a lot of the insider information, and it's amazing how tight they've made it and how nervous they are because of the fear of the audit, what they're going to find. And the bank that I work with, we've worked with them for 29 years, and I don't think we've ever had a losing year where they've lost money. And it's just amazing. I feel like the regulators and examiners should leave, certain people should be hands off. Until you do something wrong, don't judge everybody by some bad apples. Because not everyone did this demise to this industry.
What about the personal part of banking, where you know the person, you know they're good for it, you know that they're reliable, they may not have a super high paying job, but they have a really stable job, whatever it might be. That seems to have been gone by the wayside probably a good 10 years ago when things became easy, and it hasn't come back.
I mean, yeah, I agree. There was when my commercial lender switched to a global cash flow basis that we had to do. We had some customers that we'd worked with for 20 years that didn't fit that requirement but had never missed a payment, had been a great customer for 20 years, but they didn't fit that round peg in the round hole. And that's what frustrated me so much, that why are we changing things for people that never did anything wrong?
Susan in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments. First, I want to believe that these poor lending practices are over and that we're going to go back to a 20% or a 30% down situation. But I recently refinanced my home when 15-year rates went down below 3.6. And I basically did it on my signature. They didn't ask for any proof of it. And I'm self-employed.
Was it with a bank that you were already working with?
It was through my current a mortgagee and the broker that I had used in the past. But still, I mean, they didn't ask for proof of income. They didn't ask for tax returns. You know, they got my Social Security number and my credit score. And it was, so that was a little alarming.
Yeah, that is, Susan. And again, I hope we never get back to that lending where it got to where you could fog a mirror and get a mortgage. That does surprise me. It seems like we always learn this hard lesson, then over time we forget that hard lesson that we learned and we go back to some of this silly lending. But yeah, I am surprised that they didn't ask for more documentation.
Even though they're her banker already, though? Well, don't they already have it all?
But still, back to my comment about my commercial lender, we've had a customer for 20 years.
Right.
And they said, hey, you can't lend to him right now because he doesn't fit that round peg in the round hole. So,
okay. Thank you, Susan, for that call. 614-292-8513. We're talking about the real estate market in Central Ohio and Ohio. If you want to tell your story, we'd love to hear it. So give us a call. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Dennis in Hilliard, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Dennis.
All right. Good morning. We get neighborhood of, say, $300,000 to $500,000 homes. We have our first foreclosure. It's been about a year now. what's the responsibility of the bank as far as maintaining that property? Actually, we're, as a neighborhood, mowing the property. It needs to be weeded, and there's some other issues related to the house as far as winterization, outdoor winterization, wood repair. You know, what do we have as a neighborhood that we can do to make sure that it's maintained, and why is the process of foreclosure taking so long in certain instances?
Yep.
And I'll take my answer off the line. Thank you.
That's a good question. There's a lot of problems with that out there.
I think just the backlog of the foreclosures. The lenders can't keep up. No lender had this big of a contingency plan set up for this amount of massive foreclosures. I do agree the bank should be taking care of the property, not only to protect their asset that they have, because if the pipes freeze, they got a whole other issue in mowing the grass. I've always been surprised that the banks don't have a contingency plan in place to hire a realtor or a maintenance company or someone just to maintain that property, because the sooner you can get a hold of that property and keep it at some level, more opportunity you'll have to get your asset at a better, fair price.
But that's investing some money in something. The banks like to make money. They don't like to spend it.
Well, but part of it is how much less will you make if it pipes freeze and burst? You've got mold, you've got water damage. I do agree that, yeah, the banks want to get this off their books as fast as they can, but protecting that property is going to be key. Maybe not so much in Dennis's neighborhood, but if you have vandalism and stuff like that, this is going to bring down the value, and that ultimately you've got a property that no one else can buy, meaning that the pipes burst, I can't provide financing on that because now you've got a water damage, you've got mold. So now you've moved that property where no one can get financing unless they pay cash.
And Rob, how much of that's happening all over the place right now? There's whole neighborhoods we've
Absolutely.
Talked about that are not under, they're under weeds.
That's
and
right.
You wonder overall what that's doing to the larger market.
Absolutely. I think it's affecting it tremendously. I was going to suggest that one of the things that they should do is contact code enforcement for that community and get them involved on a regular basis. Columbus certainly has at least a good response system to respond to issues like that. And I believe Hilliard's got a great system. Get code enforcement on that right away and keep on them, because they'll make a difference.
Peter in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Hi. I have my own house, and I've had it for over a decade, and I paid it off pretty quickly, so I'm not in any trouble. But what I kind of feel is that, one, people's expectations for houses, especially first houses, seems to be very high. And second is, why don't we have more affordable housing in the sense of, why can't a person buy a starter home for less than, like, around $100,000 or maybe $150,000, in a decent neighborhood? To me, I just don't quite understand that.
That's an interesting question as far as those mixed neighborhoods and the fact that there's an issue in Dublin and other places where there's just too much housing stock all in the same price point, and there's no place for anyone else to live.
That's right, and I think it's important for people to realize that it is expensive to buy the land, to put the infrastructure in place, to build the streets, the sewers. The cost of raw materials have increased, and as we were talking about during the break, the fact that school costs are going up and up. So it's awfully difficult to build a entry-level house for $150,000. That kind of goes with the comment that we had about
in a nice, stable neighborhood.
That's right.
Around other, yeah.
Well, that's right. That's right, and Todd's point about that we have encouraged home ownership at almost any cost. The other thing we've encouraged is you have to buy a new house to be successful. And it seems like everyone we talk to says, I've got to buy a new house to show how successful I've been. You don't have to buy a brand new house. There are some great houses in some very good neighborhoods that you can buy for less than $100,000. They may take a few dollars to make improvements to it, but there are some really good values out there, less than $100,000 in some very good neighborhoods.
Thanks a lot, Peter, for that call. Michael in Columbus. Mike, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. I'm sorry. Mike, you're on the show. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I heard a caller call in earlier that I referred to the value of his home being what the notice from the county auditor, I think the panelist said the Franklin County auditor has been sending out letters to all property owners in Franklin County saying, here's your new appraised valuation. I think it's important for people to understand that that's just one person's opinion of value. And only when you market a property properly and make it available do you understand the value. People always take those appraisals and say, that's what my property's worth. That's really not fair. People need to understand that that's just one person's opinion.
That's the tax, what the taxes will be.
Yeah, Mike, that's a great comment. Mm-hmm. You're 100% right. I mean, the value really is, you have a willing seller and willing buyer, but also what your neighborhood is doing. I mean, unfortunately, if you're inundated with a massive amount of foreclosures or short sales, unfortunately, that's what your neighborhood is going to be based upon. So I do understand that the tax value is not necessarily your appraised value.
Okay, thanks for that call. Josh in Lancaster, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Yes, hello. I was calling with kind of a question. My wife and I owned a house. I'm a student at Ohio State and commute up here from Lancaster. My wife is a nurse at St. Anne's in Westerville, and so she has quite of a drive, too. And we sold our house in Lancaster about a year ago and have been renting, and we've been looking at purchasing a house in the Canal, Winchester, or Pickerington areas, but we're still just kind of nervous about it because likely the chance would be that we would need to sell the house possibly again in 2 or 3 years. And so my question would be is if your guest thinks that the housing market, if we would still have trouble or difficulty selling a house if we were to purchase it here in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, Todd? Josh, that's a great question. I mean, you know, again, hard to say, but I would say if you're looking to, you know, get into a house and sell it in 2 or 3 years, you know, my vote is I probably would not purchase.
I would agree.
Yeah, I just think
that
we may have a little bit further down to go. And, you know, again, if you're comfortable where you are renting, maybe continue to save. So when the market stabilizes, you can, you know, purchase a higher price.
There are more people renting right now because they can't get a mortgage. Is that affected the rental market? Are the rental rates going up now, Rob?
That is. And in fact, we've seen some of the best rental occupancies that we have seen in over a decade in central Ohio, especially some of the better quality properties that are located throughout the area. Downtown, Short North, we've seen 98% occupancy rates right now with rental rates that are significantly higher than they were just a couple of years ago. So, yes, it absolutely has impacted the rental market, and we expect it to have a positive impact on that rental market probably for the next 4 or 5 years.
Thanks a lot, Josh, for that call. 614-29. Well, I'm not going to give out the number anymore because I want to get to as many calls as I can. We also have emails. One from Dana. She says, what about the west side, particularly Lincoln Village, Westgate, and Galloway? Will the new casino help or hinder property values? And that same note, if you could address the issue of what if the Blue Jackets did go away and the arena was essentially empty? What do those kinds of things, what kind of impact do they have?
Boy, there's two loaded questions. We could
spend
an hour
on
that.
Let's just stick with the casino question because Dana asked first.
Well, I think that the casino will have a positive impact on the west side. I think it's going to provide employment opportunities that don't currently exist out there. They're not particularly high-paying jobs, but I think if you're talking about offering some stability to the market, that the casino will have a positive impact. Not sure of what the long-term impact will be, but certainly a positive one for that area of our community.
Okay, and then like on the other side of that coin, the other loaded question is, what if something like the Blue Jackets does go away? What's the vested interest of the people who own property in the arena district, residential property?
That's a tough one to ask and or answer. I think that there are so many positive things that are going on in the arena district that the demise of the Blue Jackets would not have as significant as an impact as it's being led on to be, I think, in my opinion.
Okay. You still have the Clippers down there, so you're fine.
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah,
still have the Clippers. Got the Clippers.
Yeah.
Roger in Dublin, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Roger.
Hello. I have a question for Todd. I was wondering, my son is looking to buy a home, and he's just kind of new in his job and things like that. And I was wondering, can I co-sign for him and help him out?
Roger, that's a great question. You know, right now, Fannie Mae does not allow co-signing. Because basically they want the occupying borrower to qualify at ratios that basically would be what the normal client would qualify for. So co-signing is not allowed. Now, FHA, they may have some opportunity for co-signing, but conventionally, no.
Okay. Roger, thanks for that call. We have an email from Rob. He writes, why do the banks not bite the bullet and rent the defaulted property to the homeowner for market rental values until this all works out? Seems to me this is a win for the newly unemployed homeowner, the neighborhood, the bank, the animal shelters, etc. I realize the banks are the losers, but not 100%, and after all, they caused this situation to begin with. It just seems that if we keep these folks in their homes no matter what, that this will end sooner and take less negative effect and have a less negative effect on society. Rob, what do you say?
I think that's a great idea. I think it's something they should be doing, but you have to create a great deal of infrastructure for that to occur. They're not in the business of managing properties, and I think for them to get into that is a real challenge. Now, they could turn those properties over to a professional management company, but they're still not set up to do that sort of thing. So I think if this conditions continue to exist as they do, we will probably see that more and more as time goes on. But right now, they're just not set up to do that.
Todd?
And isn't it amazing that they took on a massive amount of new mortgages over the past 10 years, and not one of them thought of a contingency plan for disaster?
That's right.
Which was, in my personal opinion, just being in the industry for so long, I saw that disaster coming because, again, you can't give somebody something for free. And that's what was basically happening. And they were packing on all these mortgages but had never thought of, what happens if the bubble bursts? And now they're all sitting going, what are we going to do? And it's just amazing that, again, you would think you'd have a contingency plan set up. And I agree. I think they should allow them to rent back and or keep the property, you know, up to par so you can find someone to actually buy the property. Because as it gets dilapidated, no one will provide financing on it.
And it's harder to sell other homes in a neighborhood
right.
when there's one lawn that's overgrown or starting. There's one in our neighborhood that I know people have been mowing the lawn, but after a while, the house is just starting to look unlived in.
That's right.
There's a certain look about an unlived-in house, isn't there? Real quick email from Mike, and then we're going to have to cut it off. This should be a good time for a potential home buyer to pick up a bargain, buy a foreclosed home from a bank. How would someone go about this? Any quick advice, because we're running out of time?
Yeah, I think, Mike, what you need to do is contact your realtor. Your realtor will get involved with the bank's realtor. Now, again, be prepared for a long journey. Banks do not make quick decisions on this, but I think you could get some good bargains. But it will take probably 60 days or 90 days.
And again, if you're going to get into it as an investment, think of it as investment.
Yeah, to become a landlord, you've got a lot of responsibilities with that. It may not be something that you're ready to do.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for all the great calls and emails. And also my guest, Rob Vogt, partner of Vogt Santer Insight. Thanks a lot, Rob, for joining us again.
You're welcome.
And Todd Helpbringer, thanks for joining the show today, Todd.
Thank you very much.
Todd is president of Helpbringer Mortgage Services. Once again, thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.